U.S. officials have revealed new details of a draft agreement aimed at ending the war between the United States and Iran, and a formal signing ceremony could come as soon as Friday. Officials read parts of the Memorandum of Understanding to reporters Wednesday after days of secrecy about its contents. Iran said the deal could be signed by President Trump and Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian, which would mark a major diplomatic moment between two countries that haven't had formal relations since the 1979 hostage crisis. Under the draft, the U.S. would gradually ease sanctions on Iran, unfreeze billions in assets, and let Iran resume selling oil. Concessions, officials say, go well beyond Iran's 2015 nuclear deal with the world powers, which Trump scrapped during his first term. In exchange, Iran reiterates a pledge not to build a nuclear weapon, language similar to that earlier agreement, and agrees to a new standard for reducing its stockpiles of enriched uranium. The deal would also end fighting in Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah and reopen the Strait of Hormuz, a critical oil shipping route shut down during the conflict, to normal traffic within 30 days. Many critics, including some conservative allies of the president, have questioned whether the U.S. is giving up too much leverage too soon. The agreement sets a 60-day window for more detailed in-person talks to iron out remaining issues. Officials said the broad language in the document was designed partly to give Iran's leadership room to sell the deal to its own public, with more specific commitments expected to be hashed out as negotiations continue. Meanwhile, as the G7 summit wrapped up in France, Donald Trump said the truce has already eased pressure on global oil markets, with traffic picking up through the Strait of Hormuz since the agreement was announced just days ago. He credited military leaders and shared an inside look into his wartime decision-making process.
And I want to thank also Pete Hegseth and General Raisin Kane, who's phenomenal. Okay, these guys are phenomenal. They can't be better. But I had some good generals, and I said to them, well, if Israel's not going to do it, we're all prepared. Do we do it? Do you like doing it or not? He said, sure. If you want to do it, we can do it. How well? We'll do it just as well or better. We'll do it ourselves. We don't need anybody. So we took out Soleimani. One of the biggest events to happen, the Middle East, maybe ever, but they say 50 years, they say 100 years.
Despite the peace agreement, Iran's government remains in place. Its stockpile of enriched uranium has not been surrendered, and its support for militant groups across the region continues. Reporters used the closing press conference to ask the president what exactly had been achieved.
Sorry, one of the goals of Epic Fury, you said going into it, was to destroy Iran's ballistic missiles and its capabilities to build more.
Yeah.
Why is it acceptable to you now that they keep some of that capability? And Iran is...
What are they keeping? What are they keeping? They have less than other nations now. We knocked out probably 84-85% of their missiles. The rest of them are underground. They can't even get them out. You know, the other night's raid, I think it was on the first night, we knocked out hundreds of their missiles. Actually, by mistake, we were hitting an area, and it, you know, you can sort of see when the bombs are going off, and then you see one that looks like, well, what happened? A lot of missiles knocked down. No, but what are you going to do? Let's spend another 2 weeks and give them none. They don't want to be firing missiles right now. They're going to have a hard time rebuilding. They're going to have a hard time rebuilding.
The president has repeatedly cited Iran's nuclear program and the threat he said it posed as the justification for starting the war. However, reporters noted that the Memorandum of Understanding does not fully resolve those issues, instead leaving much of the nuclear question to future negotiations.
The drafts of the deal that have been floating around barely mention Iran's nuclear program. So can you explain how exactly the deal achieves that goal?
So when I say permanently, it should be permanently. But if it's not permanently, we will bomb them.
The threat of a return to war is why Senate Democrats tried once again Tuesday to pass a war powers resolution limiting President Trump's authority to take further military action against Iran without congressional approval. Lawmakers in both parties have expressed skepticism about the emerging U.S.-Iran agreement and frustration that the Trump administration has yet to brief Congress on its details. While senators expect a classified briefing, none has been scheduled ahead of Friday's planned deadline to sign the agreement. The measure failed 47-48, falling short of the majority needed to advance. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Rand Paul and Bill Cassidy joined most Democrats in supporting the resolution, while Democratic Senator John Fetterman voted against it. Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine, who has led the effort, vowed to keep bringing the measure forward. He argues that even as negotiations continue, Congress must ensure the United States does not resume military strikes without its authorization. Meanwhile, in France, President Trump defended the interim agreement with Iran while warning that the United States is prepared to resume military action if Tehran fails to comply. The president said he personally has a backup plan should the deal collapse.
If it works out, I'm going to take the credit. If it doesn't work out, I'm blaming J.D. You better be careful, J.D. He's going to turn his plane around and get the hell out of here. Yeah, I like that idea. I think it's a good idea.
When the conversation turned to accountability, the president again deflected. Asked by a reporter from the New York Times whether anyone would be held accountable for the deaths of Iranian schoolchildren killed during the opening hours of the war, he did not directly address the question. Instead, he shifted responsibility.
Now that you're approaching a new phase in this conflict with Iran, can you now say whether you will hold anyone in your administration accountable for the strike on a school that killed more than 100 children on the first day of the war?
No, if it was a fault, and as you know, that's under investigation, it's such a strange question to be asked at this state, because you're talking about a long time ago, but nobody did that on purpose. I guess you'd have to say about them, what about the thousands of soldiers that they blew up when they opened their car door? What about the thousands of people that were killed by Iran? No, mistakes are made. The war is nasty. But I know it's under investigation, and I could have a report for you tomorrow. I would ask Pete Hegseth that question.
Trump also addressed the fighting in Lebanon, pushing back on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has said Israeli troops will not withdraw from Lebanese territory, where they currently occupy about one-fifth of the country.
We'll get that done. That's a small one, and we'll work with Israel and get it done. But I'd like to do it. I mean, you have people living there. Buildings are being dropped on top of them. Or right alongside of them. How would you like to live there? It's so unfair.
The standoff has raised concerns that the dispute could jeopardize the peace agreement, as Iran has insisted that any final deal include an Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon. Trump also criticized Israel's military campaign against Hezbollah, even as fighting there continues despite the ceasefire. However, G7 leaders welcomed the deal and said they're ready to help implement it, but offered no specifics on what role they might play. Some European diplomats have privately raised concerns that the agreement doesn't go far enough in addressing Iran's nuclear and missile programs long term.